Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to verse 30, I will be reading the word of God. And before I read, I would like to thank the pastor of the house and the pastoral table to allow me to bring this word of in this morning. Amen. A little bit nervous because there's some good preachers in this house. But I am blessed. Genesis 32, verse 24 to verse 30. The word of the Lord says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him unto breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched him the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" I will read that again. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "So he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall now no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You have struggled with man, with God and man, and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is that you ask about my name?' And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God's face to face. My life is preserved.'" I would like to read that verse in Spanish. Last verse. "Y llamó Jacob el nombre de aquel lugar Peniel, porque dijo, 'Vi a Dios cara a cara.'" Oh, Lord Jesus. "Y mi alma fue librada." Before you sit down, tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, I cannot go home like this. Not today." Get out of your seat. Get out of your seat and find somebody else and tell them, "I cannot go home like this." No. Not on January 27, 2019. I can't go home like this. I cannot go home like this. Not today. And after you get really at least one person, you could have a seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know we have heard this word preached and taught in Sunday school. But when they told me, "Alex, can you please come and bring the word on Sunday morning?" I rejoiced because I know God is doing great things, especially with the man of today. Despite what other people are saying, despite they're saying that the men are not the one leading in the churches, that there's more women in the church than men, I believe that God is lifting up men of God in this day to lift up his banner, despite everything. Before I get into the three focus points I have for you today, I would like to just give you a background on Jacob. We all know Jacob is a character. I have few characters in the Bible in which I like. One of them is Peter. First and foremost, Jesus is the one, but one of them is Peter, then Paul, and surprisingly enough, I like Jacob. Because Jacob, they said he's a deceiver, or he might be a trickster, or he like playing trick or treat, but this man is hungry. Tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for God's presence." This guy did not want to wait his turn. When he was in his mom's womb with his brother, he grabbed his brother y quería salir primero. He wanted to come out first. He did not want to wait his turn. But one thing that God has called us is to be men of integrity, women of integrity, and not just do something just to do something just to get ahead. But when you are marked with the Holy Spirit, when you're walking under the banner of Jesus Christ, integrity shall flow everywhere about your life. They should not just see, "Oh, this man is just a Christian," but they should see the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of them is being integrity, men with integrity. God is seeking churches that love him in true spirit and truth, but also have integrity in everything they do. Not just only on Sunday's morning or Sunday afternoon, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When everyone is not looking, God wants that man, that woman to seek him regardless of the fact. My brother Jacob is the twin brother of brother Esau. We all know he stole the inheritance from his brother. He did tricks. He says, "Oh, you know something?" His father said, "Hey, listen, go prepare a meal." And while his brother was actually going to prepare a meal, he said, his mom actually told him, "Listen, he's about to get blessed. He's about to get the house, the cars. and the money in the bank. So if you don't hurry up, oh Lord Jesus, you're going to be without nothing. And sometimes as men or as Christians, we hear other voices instead of the voices of God and waiting our turn when God has to speak to us. We say, you know something, sometimes those voices have influence in our life or in our decision making. And we must, church, be careful. We, church, must then be vigilant and have discernment and pray God for the spirit of discernment to hear which voices are influence our life and our decisions. Because it might seem right. It's this mom. Mom said, listen, I want you to be blessed. You're the younger. My inheritance is your big brother that he's going to get. But sometimes those voices we hear, although that might be influential, wherever you may be, at work, home, friend, young man, young lady that hear me, sometimes those voices might not be the correct voice. And nowadays, we have to seek for God's face for we can understand what God has to have to say in our life and hear his voice and not just hear some influential voice. So he went. We all know the story. So he dressed as his brother. His brother was hairy. He was not too much hairy, like myself. And one of my brothers, you might be seeing, Brother Moses, he's a little bit hairy, but guess what? He tricked him. And he took the blessing that was for Esau. And God, one thing that God does, he still blesses you despite of sometimes. God's promise in your life, God's blessing in your life, no matter what way you are in your life, he still would bless you. But now you're operating not in the full blessing of the Holy Spirit. You're just having your own strength. You're walking with your own intellect. You're walking with your own sapiencia, your own level of management. And I say this as men. We're celebrating a National Man's Day. Sometimes we like to do our thing our way. Amen. That was the amen, sister. That was for a sister. Amen. Sometimes we like to do our thing our way. Because, honestly, that's how I was taught. My dad says, you're the man of the house. When the tough decision comes, Alex, guess what? Tú eres el hombre de la casa. You're the man of the house. You make the decision. And sometimes, although good and influential, sometimes we misguide that. And we want to make decisions just because I'm the man of the house. Let's go this way. It'll take us 2 hours. And my wife tells me, let's go this way. It might take half an hour. It has happened. It has happened. Let's go this way. We might have a bigger budget. And we might not be struggling for pennies at the end of the month. But no. Se muestra así. And we invest this in here. No. She was right. She was right. Sometimes my wife is mostly time always correct. And because we have success, she's always correct. Estoy aprendiendo. Amen. So, because sometimes we are successful in what we do, we think is correct. One thing that Jacob was, he was successful. He left in deceiveness. He went to his uncle. He married his uncle's daughter. He was a successful man. He was not a broke man. But he had deceiveness in his heart. He could lie. He could sell ice to a penguin and water to a whale. He was skillful. As us men and women, we are skillful in certain things. And sometimes we think that our skills, our ability, our intellect are the one opening the door. Tell your neighbor, don't be full of yourself. It's God's grace that's opening that door. And while we are walking through this, we think it's us because we're smart. And we are able and we're doing this. And wherever we're at, whatever field we're in, whatever company we're working for, we're producing 10 times for the other person that is producing. And we're forgetting who's the one that opened the door. We're forgetting the one who has given us the ability to be smart enough to conduct ourselves in excellence and operate in excellence. Can somebody relate to that? And sometimes you say, oh, no, I'm not cocky. I'm just confident, right? No, I'm just confident. Yo sé lo que estoy haciendo. I know what I'm doing. But we forget that in everything we do, in all we do, we should always give God the glory. I'm going to repeat that again. In anything and everything we do, we should always give God the glory. I remember my father. My father's a barber. For some time, he taught me the trade of barber. There was one time, and hence the title of the message. Estaban ahí el día entero, papi, una vez en la barbería. And nobody came in. The barbershop is a good business. It's a great business. But sometimes you have 10 people or 20 people coming in, and sometimes you have no one coming in. And guess what? The bills got to get paid. The bills got to get paid. My father has a custom that every first customer is for church. La ofrenda de la iglesia. Amen. That was his custom. Man. But that day, we were waiting a long time for this customer to come. Estaba frío. I was young and not as smart. I was, oh man, are we going to stay here the whole day, Dad? And he said, no, olvídate. Que Dios provee. Hora vienen, hora van. Time comes. The first customer comes. And I'm thinking, he's not going to give that for offering, you know? The rent is due soon, Dad. I'm thinking. But one thing he said, God will provide, Alex. I said, man, we were here a long time. Impatientness. I was being impatient. I needed to pay tuition. I needed to do certain things. And there was nothing. I needed to go to McDonald's. I needed to go see Candace afterwards. You know, what am I going to pay McDonald's with? I need to get to McDonald's. But, you know, she was not a McDonald's girl. But guess what? I needed something. But I was actually, Lord, what are we going to do? And my dad says, hey, sometimes the business is like this, but I got faith God will bring whoever he needs to bring at every time. Every day he goes with the faith. Guess what? If we get one or two, that's what God provided. Guess what? Just when we was about to leave, people started coming in. And my dad was a regular day for him because he operated in faith. At that time, I operated on seeing what kind of green I was going to get in my pocket. And then I could go see my girlfriend Candace then. I didn't believe that, hey, you know, that God will provide. It takes a level of maturity. And as a Christian, sometimes we walk, and as we develop maturity, and sometimes we slip. Man, I'm going to speak to you right now. Give yourself some grace. Don't beat up yourself so hard. Guess what? Because guess what? Give yourself some grace because it's going to take time to form the man that God wants to form. Sister, wait for that man. Wait for that man. He's about to be birthed, but wait for that man. No coge más tiempo nosotros. I'm sorry. Pero wait for that man, for God to do something in this man's life. Oh, before I used to think I used to know it all, but no. Guess what? Give us time and give yourself some grace, and you will see God's work, his hands and miracles in your life. It's as simple as this little song. What a mighty God we serve. I grew up singing that song. When we got here in 1989, we did not know English. How we learned English was the church. It was just Sister Naomi, Aris, Giselle, and certain other people that spoke English in our church. Porque era una iglesia hispana. Elderly. And Carlos was there. He was a bass player. He inspired my brother to be a good musician. And guess what? We learned. We learned through singing, through hearing, through them teaching us the English language. Digamos, cinco muchachos de Santo Domingo, five kids. My parents in a foreign land, and how my father got here, he had a dream. He told my mom, hey, listen, I got a dream walking in the snow. I think the Lord wants us to go to New York City. Yes, that was it. I had a dream that we were walking in the snow, and I believe that God wants us to go to New York City. You could tell my mom is a thinker in the house, right? And my mom said, okay. They said, is that what the Lord said? He has to speak to me. Because we have five. And then my father started backtracking. Was it the Lord? He was a lieutenant in the Navy, the Dominican Navy. He was waiting for rank. 27 years. And he's like, you know something? Let me wait. Let me just stay right here. And then God gave him a word. God gave him a word. But he was then my mom said, hey, vamos, where you didn't you say God said we're going to be in New York City walking in the snow? He challenged my dad. He said, "Are we?" And my dad was like, well, you know something. Okay, you know, I might wait for rank. You might get better. Things might going to get better. No, things were not getting better. Things were getting more dire as the day go by. And five kids right there, it's not easy. I have two little beautiful girls. And my, oh my God, my head is spinning. They have five. There was a lady in the church and told to my dad, came one day, said, "Hermano Luis Inirio, presente. El Señor le dio algo a usted. Y usted lo tiene engavetado. ¿Qué usted le pidió al Señor?" Translation. You asked for God something and you have it in a cabinet. What was that you asked the Lord? What was that the Lord revealed to you? What was the word that God said to you? And my dad said, "Oh, yep. New York City. New York City. ¿Cómo lo hacemos? How are we going to do? We had no one here. We had no one here. We had no immigration status here or anything, no connection here." And God says this. To make a long story short, my dad went, he got the visa first. Second, my mom went, all five kids got stamped right away. If you're Dominican, you know how hard is that, correct? You know how hard is that. From there, we came to East New York, Brooklyn, in the 80s and early 90s. That's not an easy place to live, but that's home for me. You know what I'm saying? That was home for me. That was my bedrock, and I thank God. But he brought us to some place called Roca de Salvación, where there was a church that loved us. There was a church that made a difference in our life, helped us. They closed us. I remember wearing David's, Naomi's brother's clothes. They gave us love, and they showed us there is hope and did not want to build the wall. And say, although you're from another country, God would bless you. You become helpful for this society. You'll become good citizen for this society. So now we're going through certain things in our life right now in this country, right? We're looking at immigrants. Are they going to come do something? Yes, they will. If God sent them here the right way, they will do something. Because it's God's is opening doors for some of those people. It's God's opening doors for those of those people. It's God, just like he opened us for me and my dad. And we are here. And I'm going to tell you, Jacob also was reminded. Jacob was in a journey. He was in a journey. He know he screwed up. He left his home. Now he's in his uncle's house. He's like, you know something? I'm going to stay here 21 years. You know, they might forget it. My brother might actually forgive that I took his money. You know, he might, listen, I'm not going to go back home. He stood there. But God spoke to Jacob, just like he spoke to my dad, and just like he speaks to you. And the verses in Genesis, if you could write this down for those of you to take notes. The word of God always would guide you where you need to be. Hallelujah. Oh boy. Okay. And God spoke to Jacob and says, hey, leave this land and go from where you came from. Now, Jacob had some issues. He has tricked his brother. They have known him as a deceiver, a stealer, someone that is not trustworthy. He needed a change. He needed to be transformed. And guess what? In the journey of him going from one place to another, he knew that he could not go home the way he came. He needed to be changed. But the problem was that Jacob was a fast thinker. He was a problem fixer. Sounds like some man nowadays, correct? He wanted to just fix certain things. He told his servants, hey, do me a favor. Go to my brother with this offering and tell him I want to see him. They go to his brother Esau. Your brother want to see you. Brother Esau said, okay, I want to see him. But tell him I'm bringing 400 men with me. 400 men with me. I'm bringing 400. Not one, not two, not three, 400. When the news got to Jacob, he remembered that his brother Esau vowed to kill him. Remember that part of the story? He took his money, but his brother says, I will kill you. Right away when Jacob heard that news, he started thinking, how will I fix this? You know something? He divided the camp into two. Not one, into two. This man is a problem solver. So that's why I like this guy. He always has an answer for something. But guess what? Not the right answer. He said, oh, you go, just in case he come in and kill us, you go this way, I go that way. Prayer first, we're going to bring the offering, we're going to bring this. And by the time he gets to me, hey, he's going to forgive me, man. I'm a man with money. I'm bringing it back. I'm paying it. You know, guess what? You will forgive me. He had right away. But one thing, anxiety came over Jacob. Nervousness came over Jacob. He was in a dark place for 1 second. He was in a place that he said, hey, you know something? Is my brother going to come and say hello? Or he's going to forgive me? Or he will kill me. And he started devising his plan. One day, he stood by himself. That's what the Bible says. He stood alone. And this is where God wants to speak to us. Sometime when you feel lonely and you see that nobody's around, that's the moment that God wants to speak to you and wrestle with you. There's certain things that in your life right now, I don't know what it might be, you know, only you know, that God wants to wrestle with you. There's certain area that God wants to wrestle with me. Sometimes I do not want to let it go. Sometimes, Lord, but God wants to wrestle. It's in there that you're going to see God's face to face. It's in there where he's going to reveal the purpose that he has for you. It's in there that he will tell you, hey, it's this way, not your way. It's my will and not your will to be done. If I could go deeper in that verse, he was alone. If I'm allowed, I bet you he was nervous. If we could go travel back when you was in high school or junior high school and there was a fight outside and somebody said, te veo afuera. How many of us grew up in New York City? Amen. Te veo afuera. I'm going to see you. I'm going to catch you outside. Catch me outside. How about that, right? Catch me outside. How about that, right? And fear comes, you know, you're in high school. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be sunned, right? Young man, you know, like, but I'm Christian. Yo soy el presidente de los jóvenes. I'm like, okay, but, you know, so I got to get home somehow. There's going to be a struggle, right? There's going to be a struggle. Pero si me ven, pues el lado Martín me va a poner en disciplina. My pastor's going to put me in discipline. But you have that fear comes in your heart. I'm sorry, but I experienced that in my high school. I went to a public high school in East New York. I had a great education. And guess what? But sometimes I thought twice. Do I come out to the front door? I'm not going to lie. Or the back door? Or the middle door? Anything, boy. Whatever door I'm going to come out, I'm going to be sprinting. Hello. I used to live 4 blocks away from my house. And it was several times. If you listen to Moses, yes, we did it. Me and my brother. You know, we were some little chubby guys, but we ran. We ran home. Because there was going to be a fight. There was going to be a confrontation. There was going to be a wrestling match for no reason. The purpose is, the difference is here, that this wrestling match that God wants to have with you is to change your name. It's to change not only your name, but your families and your legacy. Men, we have legacy to watch over. And God wants us to be in a place in which we are in tune with him. En español, estamos enchuflados con él. That we are connected with him. I have 2 beautiful girls. I have the pleasure of taking them to school. Joelle, the little one, sometimes to the daycare, but every day I take Gabby to school. So every day I spend an hour and a half with my little beautiful girl taking her to school. And she asks a lot of questions. And why, and why, and why. And one question she said to me, Dada, I want to see Jesus. Is Jesus real? I learned this in Sunday school. Amen. Está trabajando, pastor. And I said, yes, Jesus is real. You want to see Jesus face to face, huh? The funny thing was, I told that to my dad decades ago. I said, Dad, I want to see Jesus. And my dad, his response was, listen, pray hard, ayuna, ora, osis. And you will see Jesus in more than just a face. That's what was the answer. My answer to my daughter was, you see Jesus through me. And because I was trying to think, because she's going to ask why. She's going to ask why. And those words came out of my mouth, and I knew it was not me. I knew it was the Spirit of God speaking to my daughter. And as man and woman of God, the legacy we leave they will know Jesus is through us. They are recorders. They are camcorders. They do anything and everything I do. And the first person I should and a man should impact is his home. That's why the devil is impact is so hard after the family nowadays. That's why he wants people to get divorced. That's why people are going through so hardship in this nation, because he's going after the family. But I believe that God sets a word that me and my house are what? Oh, that me and my house, what shall what? Brother George said, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. And even when things are not too firm, when things are dark, and you're wrestling with whatever may be wrestling, believe that your descendants are seeing God through you. I'm speaking to both man and woman in this morning. Don't doubt. The diabetes might tell you, me está matando. El cáncer, la alta presión, problems, no job, no this. Let me tell you something. Stand firm and know that your family in everything we do will see God through you. I saw God. The reason why I'm standing here today is because I saw God works in my father's life, my mom's life, all throughout. When they have nothing, they believe that God was with them. And I said, ¿qué es esto? There was one time, I'll share this with you. My mom was crying. We lived in the basement. We lived in the basement in East New York, Brooklyn. And there was no food. Again, my father was a barber, remember? He went to get some money to so we could come back and at least have some Chinese food. But there was no food. And I remember my mom going to prayer in the room, and I heard a gasp. Come on. That she was crying. My brother Moses, he always been prometido. That's why he got beaten so much. Le daban la pela a él. But he goes in the room, he says, Mom, why are you crying? And my mom, I remember, she says, I'm not crying, son. I am not. I'm not crying. Go play with your brother and sisters. And my brother being my brother, I'm going contigo. Minutes later, doorbell rings to the basement. She goes up, and it's a sister named Hermana Cedeño. Hermana Cedeño. She had with her, un frío, uy, Dios mío. I think it was 1991, 1992. Cold. She had two bags full of groceries. And she said, while I was praying at home, the Lord told me to go una comprita. Let me just do a shopping thing and bring it to you. My mom just started crying. We didn't start crying. We started eating. we was rejoiced because there was food. We didn't understand what was going on. Food, alaba. But guess what? You know something? We was eating. My mom was crying, and now that the years have passed, and I see what really was going on. That we did not have much, but these two people, in good time and bad times, they believed God. They went to the prayer service. They believed God. They kept praying. They took me with them. Sometime a las 5 de la mañana, los domingos. Oh my God, en ese piso tan frío. But they believed God. That impacted me so much until today. I'm age 37 years old. And when I find myself in certain things, in certain struggles, this is my best answer, prayer. Tell your neighbor, prayer changes things. 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 No matter how the forecast may seem, if it's raining, prayer changes things. In your life, in your husband's life, in your wife's life, in your kid's life, prayer changes things. I cannot speak no more about my own living experience, those of my parents and those of me. And when I see Jacob in this dark place, he wants to be changed. He wants attention. This rabble man, slick and stricter, he wants attention. He wants to be loved. He wants to be taken care of. But he doesn't know how to change the way. He knows his way, but he doesn't want to rely on the Lord to change his ways. He knows how to do it his way, but he doesn't want to render to the Holy Spirit to change his family, to change his condition, to change his finance. He knows, but he's in a dark place. And he comes, heavenly figured. I bet he was thinking, hold up, you're not going to catch me sleeping now. And they started struggling. And sometime in the path of life, we struggle with some different voices. And I want to speak to that today through an illustration. As men and people of God, sometimes the enemy throws so much at us. We know where we need to be. We need to know we need to get to Peniel, where we're going to see God face to face. But there's so much voices. Oh, you don't have enough education. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. Hermano George, vente para acá. Penapio, vente para acá. Alaba. Give me 1 second, guys. And I'm going to put this right here. I brought some illustration. Alaba. Estamos aquí. Brother George, vente para acá. Amen. Hallelujah. And the mics, please. Oh, perfect. You too. And sometime in our life, we just want to get to that place where God wants us to be. We know which destination. We know we need to get home. But tell your neighbor, I need to get home not like this. Tell him, neighbor, I need to get home not like this. I cannot come another Sunday and just sit in church and go the same way I came. I need to be renewed. I need to be restored. I can't go home like this. Amen. Something got to change. There might be a struggle, but I cannot go home this way. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you will have struggles. Church, we will have struggles. The pastor at the beginning of the year laid out the vision of the church. How many of you are excited? I am excited. You know why? Because we're going to be not impactful just in Queens, but in New York City. We're going to impact communities. We will impact our local government, our state, and even the whole country out of this house right here. So I'm very excited for the vision of this church, and I'm glad of being part of it. But guess what? There will be time they'll test your faith. There's going to be some hard time just as we're planning and we're having, I bet, attorneys and architect planning out and praying first and foremost. The enemy saying, espérate, ¿qué? ¿Qué van a levantar qué? That they're going to lift up what? The pastor said it well. It will serve not just us. It will serve 3 generations. I spoke to my spirit. It's not only my generation, but my mom, me, my daughter, and beyond. And not only our generation, but this community. The enemy's not going to say, hey, está bien que levanten un billón, está bien. No, he's not going to stay just like that. He will say, you know something? I'm going to bring something for them. I got something. There's a plan plotted right now in the pits of hell. But guess what? Prayer changes things. Prayer makes things go better. When you have God's word, no matter what, guess what? Things go easy. Y hermano Jorge, te voy a poner esto, pero vamos para allá. Vamos para encima. Okay, this is Elohim, and this is some of us right now. Please take it spiritually. He's saying, you're not good enough, my brother.
My grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Brother, but you failed last week.
My grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
No, espérate. No, listen, pero tú estabas bochichando. You was gossiping with a brother and a sister.
My grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect.
What is this man doing? He put in some boxing gloves. Whoa, wait. Is he actually kneeling down and praying for the first time? Is he praying for the first time? No. Reinforcement. Vente, Pedrito, vente. Come on. Grab this man.
Remember, my grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect
is
in your
man
weakness.
Pressing forward?
Remember, my grace is enough for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness.
But why is he listening to God's word when his marriage is going
down?
Remember,
my brother, my grace is enough for you, for my power is perfect in your weakness.
When the doctor says your diabetes is about to kill you, you're not going to go nowhere.
Remember, my child, my grace is enough.
Then
for my power is made perfect in your weakness.
Sometimes God says, okay, you brought a slacky with you. God comes and gives that big brother right here. Hallelujah. the angel of the Lord.
Do not.
The answer prayer. He comes and tells you, hey, my grace.
Do not be afraid, for my grace is enough for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. Do not be afraid, for my grace is enough for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness.
There's no depression.
My
There's no anxiety.
Is perfect in your
There's
witness.
No worry.
My grace
there is no
enough.
Pornographic videos to hold him. There's nothing but the grace of God. Now he's in a place that he needs to confirm him. Now he's in a place of Peniel. Now he's in a place he fought with that. But the problem is that Jacob also fought not only with the angel of God. He also fought with himself. His insecurity. His whatever. Can somebody, have you been in that situation? Estamos bien en la iglesia. Pero we're walking towards God's purpose. But we have something, things to fight with, right? He's not only fighting. His fight, only fight was not with the angel of the Lord. It was also with him. But he got into the place of God where he saw God face to face. Sometime, church, sounds pretty. Sounds good. Get to the place where you're going to see God face to face. But in there, you will have a lot of pain. In there, you will reveal things of yourself that you thought you did not have. You will retrospect. You will examine yourself and say, Lord, wow, change me. Change me, Lord. He will change your thinking. He will change your being. And he will change your name. And he will change your walk. The thing with Jacob, he was a fast walker. Everything was fast with him. God had to dislocate his hip in order for him to walk with a limp. What happened when a person walks with a limp? They have to walk slow. They have to slow down. And pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to his family. Pay attention to his daughters. Pay attention to his son. Pay attention to what's going around him and who is influencing him. He just did not walk with a limp just to walk with a limp. God says, slow it down. Since birth, you have been successful. We live in a society that is microwave. We have everyone, everything fast, 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 fast. But God is telling you right now, sit down, be still, and see the hand of God. Elohim Church, see the hand of God work. It might be dark, but it's about to break day soon. It might be dark, but you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, man. We will see that vision that the church is going to erect that building. We're going to see family transform itself. You will see God's purpose in your life. Slow down. And if you're limping, don't think it's bad. I heard one preacher said, oh, era malo. No, no. Actually, it was a good thing. It made this man slow down. Made him slow down naturally. And now he's in the place that he saw God face to face. Changed his name from a deceiver to a person that has nations under him, to a person of blessing. Please stand up in this morning. As I pray for God to give me this word, I first apply it to myself. And I retrospect and I say, Lord, what are the areas in your life, in my life, that needs change? What are the areas in my life that you need, Lord, to change his name, to change my vision, to change my walk? We might come to church Sunday to Sundays, and we might need change. We do need change. We need to take that time with the Lord and still and say, God, as man, as a leading man, as priesthood of my house, Lord, teach me the way. You gave me a beautiful, smart wife. Lord, thank you for this. And sometimes, as I think I know it, I might ruin it. Help me, Lord. By the grace of God, my wife is a math teacher in a high school. And for the past 6 months, she has been wrestling with something. And that something is they give her a challenge to teach calculus as a subject. And I saw my wife hours and hours wrestling with this new subject for her to teach. She knows the subject, but for her to teach is different. She had to reacquaint herself, had to relearn certain things. Tom, I will bring her some chocolate. I love chocolate. Or some ice cream. And I will see what she's doing. And it looked foreign for me. Looked like Chinese or something. And she will be engaged. And as the month has passed, I see her that she has developed that swiftness. Now she's not 3 hours in the desk. So now she's hour and a half. She has wrestled. She has grown. Oh no, she knows the subjects. But now she's more fluent. And God has spoken me through that. Sometime, we might be in a place that it might be hard for us to understand what God is doing with us. It might be hard that hey, why my kid is not serving the Lord? Why things are not going my way, Lord? But trust the process of God. Trust His process. I'm going through a process, church. I'm going through a process. I'm not speaking of a process. I am going through a process. And I say, God, thank you that you're giving me this grace. Young man, young sister, take time in your youthness to listen to God's voice and go through the process. Young man in the house, give yourself time to go through the process. Young lady, young woman, mother, give yourself time and grace to go through the process. Because at the end of it all, at the end of all the struggles, God will show His hand and His glory will shine upon you, upon your husband, upon your wife, upon your finances, upon your kids, upon your vision, upon your business, upon your skills, upon your career. God will shine. Don't listen to the contrary. Don't listen to other voices, but listen to the voices of God. The voice of God, the voice of God. Listen to that voice today. Hallelujah. Everyone on the sound of my voice, let it be through via Facebook Ustream. If you're there, if you need prayer, just wherever you're at, you might not be able to close your eyes. But pray and ask God, God, give me, Lord Jesus. Give me, Lord Jesus, grace. And thank Him already for what He's going to do. If you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, ask Him, Lord, I want to surrender it all. I don't want to be called Jacob no more. I don't want to be this condition. I want to be that person, that woman, that man that you want me to be. I want to flourish. I want to flourish. Pray that simple prayer. Say, Jesus, come be the king of my heart. Lord, come in my heart. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Right there where you at. Let me tell you something, how I knew more deeply about this church. Brother Peter used to use his lunch hour to look at Ustream. We used to work on Sundays together, and he will come. And I will see Pastor Minor, I will see Pastor Carlos, I will see Pastor Rebecca, Hermano Crapio, and a lot of other people preach. And it was sometimes so grateful. And he would say, Alice, stop going to a church in Manhattan and come to Elohim. But guess what? I said, amen, 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 amen. But the word that was delivered from here day to day, Pastor Minor, it was impactful. I said, amen. In the lunch hour, it was in our lunch hour. And we rejoiced together. So I know right now as we are here, there are people listening to us via Facebook and Ustream that are being blessed. Last week I was blessed by Pastor Caprio. I was getting ready to come to the afternoon service. What a wonderful word. I enjoyed myself for that word. So this ministry, thank God for those guys, the technicians up there. And if you need the prayer, I would like you to come and pray with me. Come on. If you need prayer to continue walking this path and see at the end God face to face, come on. Come on. The altar is open. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.